This is For Advisors by Advisors. I'm your host, Evan J. Mayer. And today we have a very special guest in Mr. Jake Ackerman. Welcome to the show, Jake.
Evan, super glad to be here, my friend. It's a beautiful day over here in Clearwater, Florida. And I'm just really excited for you to have me on.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you. It's actually been a little while since I've recorded one. To be honest, we hired a couple new people and I've been a little busy, so I haven't been on one in a while. Pleasure to have you. Jake is a wealth advisor at Ackerman Financial and affiliated with LPL. Jake did start in the business about 5 years ago. It looks like you got started at an RIA with Colton in Tampa. Is that right?
Yeah, it's rather a broker-dealer and RIA. That was my first home, and I was a trader, actually, before I became a financial advisor, and I did that for about 6 years and then transitioned into the financial advisory world.
So you were a trader 6 years before you joined Colton?
Yes.
Very cool. And then you went to LPL in the middle of the pandemic. It looks like it was like February 22nd or something. I saw the registration. So like literally, we weren't sure it was a pandemic yet, but here it comes.
I remember walking in the office the day that I was going to resign. I resigned on February 24th. And I reason remember because it stuck in my mind so vividly. I walk in and I'm nervous. And I have to go and hand in my letter of resignation, have that conversation. And I look up at the TV and I see the market's down 1,000 points. And then I was like, I don't have time to deal with the market being down 1,000 points. Like, I really need to hurry up and get out so I can go deal with this. And let's get this over with. Let's just go and hand in this in and move on with this next dilemma that we're getting ready to have to deal with. So it was precarious timing, but I wouldn't have it any other way. It actually slowed things down because the whole world was shut down.
Yeah, so. It might have been easier too with everything bad going on to go to the client and say, hey, we got to get your accounts over here quicker. These markets are moving so much day to day. I'm sure that was somewhere in the call notes.
They all called me. It was great. They called me. It just happened to work out in that circumstance where everyone was panicking. They wanted my opinion on everything. My phone was blowing up. I'm trying to make this transition and because of the pandemic, everyone called me and they all came over and we made the process quite quick and efficient compared to a lot of other people that are in this transition process.
So let's take a step back. You said you were a trader for 6 years. You know, tell me how you got in the business, a quick summary of where you were and what you did.
Yeah, sure. Full disclosure, I wasn't a licensed trader for those 6 years. I mainly decided I really enjoyed doing it. I did it as a hobby for a couple of years, and then I took it full time and became, I guess you could say, a professional trader groups. I got involved in the community of renowned traders that are really skilled at what they do, and I chose to trade futures and Forex, and I was making a lot of money doing that, doing very well. I found out that I had a really unique skill that I could somehow take emotion out of it, which I know you're in the business. This is an emotional business. Money is emotional, and I was very skilled at that, but coming from a background where I didn't grow up with a lot of money. My dad worked for the state of Michigan. My mom was in real estate and middle-class family. I moved down to Florida with my two best friends. I didn't have a nickel to my name when I came down here. We slept on the beach for a week, found jobs as cooks, early 20 stuff where you could do that.
Yep.
So I just had to claw my way up from the ground and found out that I really enjoyed trading and I was very good at it.
And part of like those trading firms where they give you more money, the better you do, it's like a technical analysis type of trading environment, or was this a little bit different?
Technical analysis, they did offer those and I was part of those groups and I chose to get money in a different way. There was a lot of strings attached to the money that they were going to give you and I chose to go a different route. I bartended on the weekends. I did anyway to scrape up some money. I did take some loans, don't get me wrong. And it was great making a whole bunch of money until taxes were due. And when you're day trading, oh my gosh, I didn't even know what a wash sale was. So that was the first killer to my realizing that, hey, I'm doing the math. I'm like, okay, I want to be a millionaire before I'm 30. I'm going to do all this. That was my artificial goal. And when taxes came due, it made it seem like I made triple the amount of money that I actually did. Did really good, made the six figures. It took me a couple of years to get that way, but it looked like I made $500,000.
So tell us about Colton. Like, go, you know what? I think I'm going to start doing this for clients. Let me get licensed. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah. Okay. So trading, I loved doing that. Very good at it. Taxes were a killer. The emotional strain was a killer. And I told you my goal was to become a millionaire before I'm 30. That was my age on it. And I'm doing the math. It didn't make sense. I needed to take my unique skill and translate it to people that had money. I'm looking for a place to, I do a quick search, like, hey, how can I make this work? Financial advisor, I stumble upon that, figure out what license I need, what the curriculum that I have to do to, in order to become a financial advisor, found out I have to get a BD to support me to get my series up. Now that was difficult. So I went and applied at Morgan Stanley, your Charles Schwab, your Raymond James, your Merrill Lynch, put in my application. They wouldn't even sit down with me and talk to me because I didn't have my securities license. And I didn't come from a family of other financial advisors, so I didn't have the connections to get into the organization. So I went to New York Life, actually, and they were going to support me to take my securities license. I got my insurance license. I did that in about a month, and that was my objective. And I just needed a place to get that securities license. I didn't want to be at New York Life. Nothing against New York Life. I'm sure they're a great company. But I wanted to be a financial advisor, not really deal with insurance unless it encompassed my entire client and they really needed that. And I was going through their training program, doing all those things. My manager overseeing me was a new manager, and I went to go close the biggest deal that I had while working there and trying to get my securities license, and he tanked my deal. Try to recruit her to be a financial professional, my client that I was getting ready to close, and it crushed me. I was going door to door in the summer, knocking on people's doors, introducing myself in a suit, and he just trashed my deal. I was really bummed out. He's like, all right, we'll get the next one. Don't worry about it. And I was sick. I didn't even want to go back to the office. I worked so hard to get that one deal. But I was trying to let it go. We're going to move on. We're going to overcome this like we do everything else. I'm on my way back to the office. I look at Bahama Breeze. I used to work part-time at Bahama Breeze for a short period of time there. Driving past Bahama Breeze, and I'm like, you know what? Something in my gut's telling me that I need to go there. I'm going to get some lunch, decompress, relax for a minute. I passed it and did a U-turn on the causeway. Went there. I have a friend there who's a manager, and he said, I got to introduce you to my girlfriend. She's a receptionist at a broker-dealer. Oh, yeah, I'd love to meet her. Met her, and she said, you need to meet our human resources person. Met her, you need to read our CEO. Met him, you should come in for an interview tomorrow. And that's how that process began. And they ended up supporting me to get my Series 7. They're great, super friendly. I just wanted to start something on my own. That's why I ended up transitioning from.
So you left. And at the time you left, Colton, how many relationships did you have, assets under management at that point? Only a couple of years.
Yeah, no, I was there for 2.5 years. I went from like 400th in the company to top 20 in those 2.5 years that I was there. I was aggressive. I was there nonstop. I was working 24/7. I don't have a wife or kids. That's all I was doing. I was obsessed and I loved it. So I got to about 24 million before I left, right around there. And that really helped with the transition.
And now you're 3 years in Ackerman? It's your own shop. You do have about three associates with you?
So I have two, it will be two, one employee starts next week. It'll be two full-time employees that we have here, and then another advisor and two other junior advisors.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And the firm asset under management at this point?
That is a good question. We're about the same that we were when I first left Calton Associates. I didn't get all my assets, that's for sure.
Yep.
And I'm basically on my own running the firm. And I just had some advisors join more recently. So they're just getting started. Two of them are green. One is, he was in the business for like 36 years. He was a $500,000 producer at a wirehouse firm. Great guy, a lot of experience. But unfortunately, he had a heart attack.
Oh, man.
19. So that just took him out of the business. He wasn't even sure he was going to survive. And he's been building back his energy levels, building back where he was. But he just got the energy level where he can come in and work and put in the hours that it really takes to bring in some business. So he's just getting started, really. Really up there. But it's mostly been me. And I toned it down a little bit last year to build this organization, bring employees, and build the foundation where I can bring in a young advisor. I can bring in an experienced advisor and give them a way where they can grow their businesses in the way that we do, and which is a big part of our growth is the media presence. We're We put a lot of money into that and a lot of research and a lot of time. And it takes a lot to finally get to where you're, hey, this is a viable product. This actually looks good. There's a lot of
absolutely.
Time.
And something goes to be said that you grew your assets, you started your firm and you're going to invest in it. And you're going to do it now while you're young and you don't have the family and kids and the cost of that. You might as well put it into the business, which is awesome. You know, the way I found you, it was probably your first video you did online. The interesting thing about podcasts or video creation or doing anything is you just have to put content out. And the guy that basically taught me about podcasting said, you're going to stink your first few episodes. Use that as fuel, use that as motivation to get better. And what's interesting about you is I've watched your videos progress. And I think I remember sending you text is how we met. I think you probably didn't even know anything about me. And you always kept showing up on my feed. And I said, he's gotten better. Like he's getting better, which is good. And it was good to see. And you're now seeming so much more relaxed in front of the camera and a little bit more, I would say, approachable would be a name. So tell us a little bit about that experience, because you go from doing no social media to all of a sudden, hey, I'm going to hop in and do these market updates and these informational videos.
That's kind that you say that. And yeah, that really stuck out when you said, hey, we're improving. It's, oh, at least somebody noticed. That's great. I'm glad he said staying up on it. Maybe we have one loyal fan at least. No, I'm just joking. We have actually
got the sign up, Ackerman Financial. I'm cheering. It's, yeah.
Yes. No, it was, I have a business associate who is, he's the king of king when it comes to this media presence and on the online, understanding the cameras, the lighting, the sound, the equipment, the experience that goes into it, being behind the camera, in front of the camera, quite a bit different. But anyways, he's recommended, like, Jacob, you got a good personality. You should be in front of the camera and letting your prospective clients and clients know that you're there and that you're looking out for them and you're aware of what's going on in the market. You're up to date and just, but you got to be consistent with it when you do it. And he just said exactly what you said is you're going to, he's my mentor as well on this, that you're going to stink at this and that's okay. So I just started in April last year and I just did it every week. Consist over and over and over again. I watched my terrible being in front of the camera experiences, my terrible self. And I look back on them now, I'm like, who the heck was that guy? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's embarrassing. Like my first podcast, I would delete the minute I could, but I was told to not do that. You know, you got to put the crap out there. And it's true. Cause if you listen to some podcasts, and I'm not going to say I'm anywhere on the same level of Rogan or something like that, but if you listen to Joe Rogan, it's, and you hear his first podcast, yeah, it was crap compared to what it is today. And I think that's a huge step. Are you starting to see referrals from this social media? There's a lot of people that use social media. I do it more for fun and more for entertainment, but people are using it for referrals and access to their clients. Are you getting feedback?
Absolutely. No, we definitely are we make our market, we call market forecast videos. It's just that I was more talking about what's going on in the market? Why is this happening? We're going to transition to really important topics, maybe such as the banking crisis, the US dollar. You hear all over the news that the dollar is going in the toilet. And then you look at the overall value of the US dollar over the last 10 years, it really hasn't changed.
No.
And I think we just went through a historic hiking cycle. And it happened within 1 year. It was insane. So yeah, the dollar increased in value. Now that the Fed's not going to raise rate at that historic level, it's going to come down. Talking about the hot topics and things that are really important that are on people's mind, I think it's going to be a great way to transition to that market forecast, we'll say. But we're sending all my perspective on what's going on with the market, what's happening in the world, with geopolitics, markets. I'm sending to our clients, and our open rate's like 50%. Our clients are really tuned in.
That's great.
What's going on? They want to know. And I talk to them, I'm like, hey, they'll get a text randomly and they'll be like, hey, thanks, Jake, for your discussion on that. I appreciate it. Thanks. What do you think about this?
How's LPL been on the videos today? Is it just make sure the right disclosures are on there and you're good to go kind of thing?
LPL has been extremely supportive. They've been great. We probably submit more videos than the majority of LPL advisors. That's what we were told. And we're really close with the marketing regulatory review department. We have our own specialists who we talk to frequently whenever we need. And they're just always just looking out for us, making sure we're doing the right things and not making any promises that we can't keep, doing something that could get our firm into any kind of trouble with, and I guess, again, going back to like guarantees, you know, oh, yeah, this is for sure going to happen. So they've been great. Their turnaround time is, I can't believe it's like 24 hours for longer form videos.
That's great.
And then for our email campaigns, it goes out that day in a couple hours. It's fantastic. I film our market forecast around noon on Fridays so I can get as much market information as I can. I don't want to miss anything and deliver to video to our clients and our prospects that doesn't have all the information.
Yep.
So we'll be filming in the morning at 12. It gets out about 4 p.m., 4, 5 p.m., sometimes 6 at the very latest. But it gets out, and our clients are loving it. Prospects who are on our email list love it. So we're going in the right direction.
So talk a little bit about management of assets. Does the buck stop with you? Are you a full discretionary fee-based advisor at this point? Are you non-discretion? Your models, are they individual securities, or are they using ETFs or mutual funds? Or do you use SMAs or UMAs, or is it all Jake?
Yeah, there's a mixed bag for sure. It depends on the client and what they need. The more aggressive, I was a professional trader for 6 years before I became a financial advisor. That's my forte. I do love doing it. I do it with my own account, so I might as well do it with my aggressive clients who are basically having the same portfolio. So I'll go in and trade their accounts once I'm done with that.
So that's like individual stocks, those accounts?
Oh, yeah.
And you're long only, I'm guessing. I'm not shorting anything.
We can absolutely short if we need to. I'm under the perspective as of right now, 2024 is probably going to be that bumpy year. We're in this like nice Goldilocks window, I want to call it. I think there'll be some FOMO. We start getting back up, approaching the highs of the S&P 500. And that might be a nice time to take some things off the table, put some hedges in, maybe add some short ETFs. And I'm not shorting individual stocks.
You're not shorting yet. You're not shorting individual stocks, but you might buy an inverse ETF.
Exactly. Yeah, we can absolutely do that. But right now we're 100% long. We bought a lot of tech in October for my aggressive clients. And then, my more conservative, we're investing in the account and rotating the portfolio less frequently. We have some SMAs in there with third party money managers that I'm operating. And then I can go to cash by one press of a button for them. LPL has a really good system, can do that. So I'm more market time because I am a technical trader. Timing with them, and then I'm over there trading individual stocks, my more aggressive ones. And then the income-based ones, we're just setting up income streams that are stabilized.
What are you using there on a product standpoint on the fixed income stuff?
Sure, there's treasury bills are very attractive. Munis are very attractive.
You buy an individual for clients?
Absolutely. So we have short-term bonds. They're not worried about the increase in interest rates, the decrease of interest rates. We're just getting our dividend. We're in an investment that's investment grade debt security, and they're happy with that. Fixed index annuities with an income rider on there, they're fantastic because of interest rates being so high. The income rates on them are through the roof. And we just buy insurance companies that have been around 100 years, and that's where we'll park some of our money in there. So I guess that would be the twofold, some UITs that can cycle through. They're probably more like municipal income plays. And that's probably it for as far as income. A lot of my clients are doctors. So we do a lot of tax-free investments, a lot of tax-free income. And then they don't have to worry about it because they're generating 100, 200, 300,000, some half a million, and they're getting taxed left and right. So building up a stabilizer portfolio where they don't have to pay taxes with their income they're getting has been really successful so far.
And what's the goal of Ackerman? Obviously, let's not lie to anybody. AUM is always a good growth metric in trying to gain assets under management. Is the goal eventually that you want to bring in other advisors and make it more of an OSJ type firm, an overall firm that has their own investment philosophies and ideas? Or where do you want to take Ackerman Financial? Where is it in 5 years? Where is it in 10 years?
I'm glad you asked that. You're going down the exact path that I want to do, where I want to get my assets up, but I don't want to have too many clients where I don't have any sense of freedom. I can't have an enjoyment of life. I can't do the things that are important to me, which is, I don't have a wife and kids right now, but those are important to me. I want to be able to do those. I want to be able to give back to my community. I want to start a nonprofit. My mother has MS, and I would love to be able to start a nonprofit that benefits folks that have MS. So the only way for me to do that is to be able to free up time. So right now, because of the media, the foundation that I built last year with my team is for the future growth, is to be able to bring in, whether they're junior advisor or they're seasoned advisors, we want to be able to bring them in here and give them a home where it's not a wirehouse style. It's not just an independent style. It's a happy medium where they're going to get the support of more of a wirehouse. They have the resources of a Fortune 500 company from LPL, and yet they're independent. If they want to leave and go somewhere else, take your business. That's the business that you brought in. I'm going to give you all the support so you hopefully never want to leave. And we'll give you the really comparable payout to as independents, probably comparable as independents that are out there right now. I've been recruited by a lot of them. I get messages from them all the time. So yeah, it's to bring in as many advisors that we can and grow this firm, and where I can, again, be the business owner. Yeah, I'm still going to have my clientele, but I for fulfillment in life, for me, is important to have a family, have kids, and be able to give back to my local community. And hopefully,
do you see yourself more in 5-10 years from now in this CIO role? More, that seems to be what you enjoy the most, is the investment side of things, or more in a CEO type of role where you're managing the business?
Think about that one. I do really enjoy going out picking investments. I'm very good at it. Timing, very good at. I enjoy that. I enjoy finding ways that people haven't thought of, and trying to figure out the psychology of the market, to decipher which way the market's heading, and then place high probability investments on whatever direction I believe is going to go at that present time.
But so today you still have that CIO bug.
I do and I don't, because I know what that takes and I know what it does to you. And I know the time that I have to put into it, which I don't mind that, but do I want to trade every account that I have? I probably would shift more to the CEO direction, be the business owner, and I would manage my clients. And that would be the ones that I trade and the ones that I enjoy, the ones that I build. I know their families, their friends. I've become an integral part of them. And just oversee business, and then maybe bring in a chief investment officer who's similar to me, maybe has my similar background, has my understanding, and can take up my philosophy on investing, and maybe bring in some of their own that I'm not even aware of, and then let them run that part of the organization.
Or maybe, given your asset size and how you're managing now, models. At some point, you're going to have to go to some sort of model system, whether it's individual. You can manage a model and buy and sell what you like and what you don't like, just like you can in your individual accounts, but just with a little bit more ease. So that's, as you grow to 50, 100 million, 200 million and above, that's normally what advisors do, so that they're still able to function, and going in and calling each client and doing those trades can get, you keep your.
So we do all discretion. No, I don't do any non-discretional trades, all discretion. Yeah. I'll take care of it. I'm the professional paying attention.
Are you doing models though for your individual trades?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
No, there's no way we block trade them. So again, I'll put them into whatever aggressive. That's what I'm block trading, individual stocks.
Got it.
And there's some ETFs that are in there for maybe the less aggressive ones, but there's no way that I could go through all those clients' accounts and trade them all individually. Case by case basis. If a new client onboards and then we need to unload a position that's concentrated, I'll do that over time. I'll handle that one separately, but yeah, no, generally, that we're going to trade it on a block trade model basis. And that way, that would take up my whole day.
It would. Advice. Look, you're a newer advisor. Yeah, you were a trader. But look, at the end of the day, you grew from zero assets. Mom and dad didn't give you the business. And you went and grew this practice. What would be your advice to the newer advisors that are out there that are just getting licensed? What advice would you give them? And give us a couple tips maybe that are not the standard, you just got to work hard. We all know that. But what did you do to help yourself grow?
I think the best advice that I could get is work on yourself first and become that person who the 50, 60-year-old person that has $1 million, $500,000 investable assets, $2 million, $500 million, whatever they have. Become that person that if you were that person, they would hire you. So you need to learn how to communicate. Talk to people, how to present yourself with confidence. Confidence is going to be built with trial and error of success, but you need to shift who you are immediately. You need to start becoming a different person. You need to stop hanging out with the friends that unfortunately aren't the potential clientele that you want to be. You need to start hanging out in those, I guess, we refer to a jungle. We're all trying to get big gorilla clients, we'll call them. The gorillas hang out up high in the trees. They all hang out together. Are they hanging out with the chimpanzees that are hanging around on the ground? No, they're hanging up. They all hang out together. So work on yourself. Go hang out in places where people that are far more successful than you are, go hang out in those areas. And over time, you will become that person that they would hire, that they want to be friends with. The sooner you do that, the sooner you're going to be successful. And then the other one I would say is have patience. This business takes a long time to build up. And if you want to do a good job at it, you got to do it consistently and you got to be patient with yourself because you're going to make mistakes and it's okay. And don't be afraid to fail. I think we probably all heard that cliche before, but you really...
No, but you are hanging with the right people, but also having the patience to know that this is not going to happen overnight is something that I think is an important thing to stress to all young advisors coming up, because it takes a long time to have those fails, those successes and those failures. And by not giving yourself that time and trying to push, you might end up selling a lot and you might end up doing okay financially, but you're not building yourself the right book of business and you're not really truly helping people either.
So, yes. Yeah.
Awesome. Jake, last piece of advice for anybody out there?
Yeah, and financial advisors or anybody?
Yeah, this is for advisors.
All right. I would say last piece of advice is build your brand. Stick to your brand and be willing to change. Because there's one thing with death and taxes, right? I guess that's what we're all destined to, that we can't ever avoid that. We also can't avoid change. And there's been so much changes over these last few years. And if you got to be ready to change, and even the older advisors, they're where they're at and they're getting stagnant. There's so much change that just took place. There's so much opportunity out there. You just got to
adapt and change. Awesome. Jake, if any advisor out there wants to get a hold of you, how do they reach you?
Yeah, www.ackerman, ackermanfg, that's in financialgroup.com. You can go to the contact page. It's got our address, our email inbox, and a phone contact phone number. And you can reach out to us anytime. And that phone number is 727-953-3900.
Excellent. And of course, he's on LinkedIn. Check out his market commentary videos. They are, like I said, getting very good and very simple. Makes things easy for the clients, which is always an extreme positive. Jake, thanks for coming on today. For those of you out there, hopefully you enjoyed today's podcast. We got a few more lined up. I finally started booking some more people. I took a month off or so as we were building our brand out a little bit here. But I hope you enjoyed the first couple seasons, and I hope you enjoyed this season as well. Talk to you soon.